Let's start over.
The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
Okay, now we can do the way I wanted to start the show, which is with this announcement.
Scripture teaches us that for everything, there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. My friends, no matter what title you all, my colleagues, have bestowed upon me, speaker, leader, whip, there is no greater official honor for me than to stand on this floor and to speak for the people of San Francisco. This I will continue to do as a member of the House, speaking for the people of San Francisco, serving the great state of California, and defending our Constitution. And with great confidence in our caucus, I will not seek re-election to Democratic leadership in the next Congress. For me, the hour has come for a new generation to lead the Democratic caucus that I so deeply respect. And I'm grateful that so many are ready and willing to shoulder this awesome responsibility. Madam Speaker, standing here today, I'm endlessly grateful for all of life's blessings. For my Democratic colleagues whose courage and commitment with the support of your families have made many of these accomplishments possible. In fact, could not have been done without you.
All right. So there you go. Nancy Pelosi today saying what she promised 4 years ago. She said she would serve two more terms. In each session of Congress runs for 2 years, so 4 years, two terms, as Speaker of the House or leader of the House Democrats. The Democrats have now lost control of the House, sadly, by the smallest possible margin. And so Nancy Pelosi, what she said today is that she will remain in Congress, but she will not be in leadership. She will not stand for re-election to leadership. And so she's, I guess, turning over the reins, she says, to a new generation. Oh, only if it were. But you know what? I'm going to save the conversation about this new leadership trio of, apparently, it's going to be Hakeem Jeffries, Kathleen Clark, or is it Catherine Clark? I'm not really sure. I don't know much about her. And, who was the third one? I've got it here somewhere. Somebody I don't really know. I think it's Aguilar. Hold on. Pete Aguilar. Okay. Again, Howie knows more about these people than I do. Am I thrilled that Hakeem Jeffries is going to be speaker, and it's looking like it is going to be shake out that way because no one's challenging him. And it appeared that Adam Schiff was going to, but Adam Schiff has now withdrawn that. I guess people told him that it's going to be Hakeem. So he said that he will focus on a possible Senate bid. So I guess that means he needs to convince, or we need to convince, Dianne Feinstein to go home. But if Dianne Feinstein goes home, frankly, I'd rather Katie Porter be a senator replacing Dianne Feinstein than Adam Schiff. You know? Yeah. We need progressive Democrats. I don't know about born in the 80s, Errol Thomas, but certainly younger. So there's that. I just, you know, because my mind works in weird ways. I listened to the entirety of Nancy Pelosi's speech. Well, almost the entirety of it, most of it anyway. And one part just jumped out at me because here, she said this, and see if it jumps out at you too.
Questions before this Congress and in this moment are urgent. Questions about the ideals that this House is charged by the Constitution to preserve and protect.
Okay.
Establish justice.
Yeah.
Ensure domestic tranquility.
Yeah.
Provide for the common defense.
Yeah.
Promote the general welfare and secure the blessings of liberty
yeah.
to ourselves And our posterity.
Our what?
Our posterity.
Our
children.
That's what she said, right? She said our posterity. Now, look, I pretty much trust my mind. Oh, shoot. I just dropped my copy of the Constitution, didn't I? I had it right here because I checked it and it was posterity. Here it is. Hold on. It fell. The line says... provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Right? That's the word. But I heard that, and I went back and listened again, and indeed...
Born today, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Our posterity.
Our posterity.
Our
and so
babies
she said it twice.
Today
and
will
so,
live
so
into
okay,
the next-
thank you, Nancy. So I looked it up because I thought maybe there is a word posterity that I'm not familiar with. And sure enough, it wasn't only Nancy Pelosi who said it. It was in January 6th. In fact, it was the first anniversary of the January 6th insurrection, and Kamala Harris and Joe Biden spoke, and Kamala Harris said this:
provide for the common defense.
Yeah.
Promote the general welfare.
Yeah.
And secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves
and
to our prosperity.
Prosperity.
And posterity.
Okay, so she said...
That is the preamble of the Constitution.
First she said prosperity, which it's not prosperity, it's posterity, right? And then she corrected herself and said just wait a minute.
Ourselves and to our prosperity and posterity.
Okay, prosperity... And then she said, and posterity. So again, I'm like, okay, maybe there is such a word. Maybe there's a combination of the two. And sure enough, I did find an entry. No sound. Hold on. You lost my sound. Oh my God. No. What happened to the sound? Oh shit. Something weird is going on. Hold on. I see this. The sound is gone. What happened? 1, 2. No. Whoa. All right. Something funky is... I know no sound. Hold on. I see that all of a sudden we have no sound going into YouTube again. What the hell is going on here? Hold on 1 second, you guys. I'm going to fix this because this is pissing me off. Let's try this again. 1, 2. Nope. Not working. Something funky is happening, definitely happening today. Switching to audio ops. I know no sound. I'm working on it. Again, you can listen. Well, they can't hear me if I tell them where to listen. Hold on, I'm trying again. I'm going to bring up sound. Give me 1 second. I'm working on it. Maybe it'll come. It won't work this way, will it? No, it will not. Oh, man. Still no sound. No, it's no sound going into... There's sound going to the audio streams, just no sound going into the video streams. I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm trying one more thing. And to those of you listening on the audio stream, yeah, you're the lucky ones today, but it's not doing us any good, is it? Okay, let me try one more thing. What if I try it this way? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, does this work? There is sound. I just don't know if it's good sound or bad sound. Is it good sound or bad sound? I'm waiting because there's a little bit of a delay. Hi, caller. Who's this?
This is Gary. Oh, okay. You finally turned the sound back. Can you repeat what you just said last 5 minutes?
I was saying that the sound's not working. Okay, so now is the sound working, and does it sound okay?
It's
good now?
I got it now.
Okay, all right.
Wow.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to go, Gary.
Right,
thank
bye.
You. Bye. So I don't know what happened here. Gremlins are out today. I literally didn't do anything. We have sound now. We have good sound now. I'm not touching it. Hopefully, it will remain good. I don't know how it went out. It just went out. Okay, so back to what I was saying before we were so rudely interrupted. So Nancy Pelosi said prosperity. And then Kamala Harris said prosperity. Right? Did you hear that part?
The blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our prosperity.
Prosperity.
And posterity.
So she said prosperity. Then she said posterity. So I went looking to see, look, I don't know everything about language. So maybe there is a word, posterity. Well, it doesn't appear there is, except the Urgent Dictionary has a definition of posterity. You ready? The attitude of someone whose prostates are acting up, but they don't want to get the problem taken care of because for some reason they think complaining about it all the time makes them seem more mature. For example, I wish he would just get over his posterity so we can hang out like normal people. So it is posterity. Kamala Harris got it mixed up with prosperity. And Nancy Pelosi, I don't know, she's talking about the kids, the future generation. Posterity. Just that's what, you know, I listened to the whole thing and that's what jumps out at me. And I'm driving in the car and I'm saying, did she just say posterity? She did. So I'm sorry. My mind is a very strange place sometimes. So that happened. But the bottom line is we're going to talk with Howie Klein when he gets here about the prosperity, you know what I mean. We'll talk to Howie Klein about Nancy Pelosi and the trio of Democrats who will take over leadership. Okay, so Sandy says, play Kamala Harris again. No, she said prosperity, and then she said posterity. And I will play it again for you because you asked nicely. Here we go.
Provide for the common defense. Promote the general welfare.
Yes.
And secure
the
blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our prosperity and posterity.
Prosperity and posterity is what she said. I'm sorry. It's such a little thing. And we should be celebrating the good that Nancy Pelosi has done because actually she was probably a better than average speaker. Was she my favorite? No. And I've criticized her, you know, often over the years, but I still put her on today's, let's show it here. Today's card. I do have a picture with Nancy Pelosi taken, probably 15 years ago. I'm glad she's doing what she's doing. It's time. And she did make a nod to the younger people. She said it's time to let the next generation, take over. And she's correct. So I thank her and I salute her. As for Hakeem Jeffries, Kathleen or Catherine Clark, whichever her name is, and Pete Aguilar, we'll talk to Howie Klein about them because he knows a lot more about them than I do. I wish some other people were going to be in leadership, but Adam Schiff, I'm repeating myself because the sound was off on the video streams for a while. Adam Schiff and said originally he was going to challenge Nancy throw his hat in the ring should Nancy have retired to be speaker, to challenge Hakeem Jeffries. And now he's pulling out. And he said that, you know, maybe he'll consider a bid for the Senate, which means that Dianne Feinstein needs to go home, which she does. But what I said was I'd rather see Katie Porter in that Senate seat than Adam Schiff. But you know what? At this point, I'll take either one. Frankly, I'll take either one. And by the way, Katie Porter won. She was they called that race for Katie Porter. California's 47th, I believe, is a done deal. Now, last night came the call in the race that handed the House majority to the rethugs. Yeah, and what's really sad is it came, and again, we'll talk with Howie about this too, but the race, the one that put them over the top, was California's 27th district. And if it sounds familiar, it's because we were here 2 years ago. And the Democrats, frankly, ran the worst candidate. Christy Smith was beaten twice by Mike Garcia in 2020, once in a special election, and then again in the general election a few months later. So the third time's a charm? Come on, man.
Come on, man.
We should know better than that. That and it's looking like they're not going to win by much more than a couple of seats margin. But again, we'll talk with Howie about that too. What I'm going to take a few minutes to talk about. Yes, I'm so happy that Katie won as well, Katie Porter. There were a couple of races that, frankly, the Democrats lost that they shouldn't have. Sean Patrick Maloney, I'm talking to you. And really, had they not screwed up in those districts, chances are the House would also still be under Democratic control. Yeah. So, yes, and he won by almost 10 points. Christy Smith should never have been allowed to run in that seat again. And I know it's not up to the party who runs, but they should have discouraged her. She lost twice to this same guy already. Cenk Uygur, he was the one who was running in that district 2 years ago, and they put Christy Smith in instead. And I agree with you, Ford Country, in the chat room. I think Cenk would have beaten Garcia. But, you know, no, Karina, Howie doesn't dislike Schiff. And if you'd listen to him rather than, you know, put words in his mouth, you'd hear that they have they've mended their relationship. They've known each other for a long time. Whose fault is it that we lost the House? Yeah, the DCCC, I believe. I'm answering Fantoma in the chat room. Anyway, most of the MAGA candidates are conceding. They know they lost, and they lost. You know who isn't conceding? The lady with the lady with the Vaseline on the TV screen. You know who I'm talking about. You know, the one who got her lake drained. I love that. Bruce W. Nelson did a song yesterday. Carrie's lake was drained. But here she is with a suitably, softened lens, saying, I'm not giving up. I'm not conceding.
Right here, I wanted to reach out to you to let you know that I am still in this fight with you. For 2 years, I've been sounding the alarm about our broken election system here in Arizona. And this past week has confirmed everything we've been saying.
Really?
When we called for Katie Hobbs to recuse herself over a year ago, they ridiculed us.
Yeah? Hey, wait a minute. Did you call for the Georgia Secretary of State to recuse himself from running their election when, after all, he was a candidate for governor 2 years ago, right? No, it's only when it's a Democrat that you have this problem, Miss Priss.
Right. The fox was guarding the hen house, and because of that, voters have been disenfranchised. Carrie Lake here.
Oh, shut up. Okay, so Carrie Lake, I got a few choice words for you, but they're not coming from me this time. Let's start with, a congressman from Arizona, Ruben Gallego, who hopefully in 2 years, will primary Kyrsten Sinema for her Senate seat. Ruben Gallego, tell us about Carrie Lake. What happens if she won't concede?
How much are the folks in your state trying to game out what a non-conceded to loss would look like in this event?
We're not thinking about that. If you decide not to concede, you're just a loser.
You're a loser.
So we're not worried about you. As a matter of fact, you want to go down as being an ignorant loser. Congratulations.
Ignorant loser.
It's not going to help you in future elections. So go ahead. Go at it, Carrie. Look, and if you want to storm the castle, you're storming the castle against a lot of Maricopa County police officers, we're not falling for this BS anymore. You want to try to do that, you're going to be met with a lot of resistance.
Awesome.
That's something you may have tried in 2020. We're not doing this anymore. You lose, game over, we're moving on. We're not going to try to mitigate these people. We're not trying to assuage them anymore. If they want to wallow in their sorrow, yep, and they want to like come up with excuses, good.
Good.
Live with that and move on. We won. Time to, you know, like, you know, deal with reality.
Deal with reality. Loser! So that's good. You know, just like, we're not taking this shit anymore. We're just not. And then there was Von Hilliard. Von Hilliard is an NBC road reporter. And his assignment, unfortunately for him, has been Carrie Lake. Well, Carrie Lake lost, and Von Hilliard wanted to get a few things off his chest. This might be the best end of an election cycle wrap-up from a reporter covering a candidate that I've ever heard.
Could I say something about Carrie Lake, you guys? Would that be okay?
Yeah, yes. Please.
Yeah, we'd love
go
that.
Go for it.
Okay. Look, I covered Carrie Lake for the better part of the last year and a half here. Uh-huh. And I think it was perhaps fitting to be here across from Mar-a-Lago today. I finally flew yesterday from Arizona here. And essentially, though, I felt like it was covering Donald Trump's campaign of 2024, but in Arizona over the last year. She predicated her campaign on trying to sell the big lie and trying to sell the conspiracy theories. When she wonders how she lost this race, look at it. This is the third election cycle in a row in which Arizonans rejected Trump. Yep. In the final week of her campaign, who did she campaign alongside? She campaigned alongside Steve Bannon. She campaigned alongside one of the chief promoters of Pizzagate. She campaigned alongside an individual who promoted the notion of the war on white people. She campaigned alongside State Senator Wendy Rogers, who just earlier this year was here in Florida speaking at a white nationalist conference.
Lovely.
Somebody who frequently spews anti-Semitism.
Nice.
This is an individual who just last week called her Democratic opponent a pervert. This is an individual who suggested there should be perp walks for elections officials, criminal charges against individuals who oversaw COVID response in 2020 in Arizona. This is an individual who's celebrating putting a dagger into the, quote, the McCain machine.
Yep.
She asserted that Cindy McCain wants to end America. She called Mike Lindell one of the great patriots of our time. She said Dinesh D'Souza is one of the greatest patriots in America. She suggested Paul Gosar was the kind of lawmaker our founding fathers envisioned. She called the media the right hand of the devil, the scourge of the earth. If that doesn't sound like Donald Trump, I don't know what does. And ultimately, the big question was she going to be able to make that sell here? And the answer is no, according to Arizona voters. And
hell
when you
no.
look at that slate of election deniers, from Tudor Dixon to Tim Michaels to Jim Marchant in Nevada to Mark Fincham, she was the latest one to fall, essentially making it a clean sweep of those not only right. election denier gubernatorial candidates and Secretary of State candidates. And now Donald right. Trump is going to go and try to run on the very message that all these folks lost on.
Von Hilliard, who David just told me is from Arizona, that man deserves a raise. That, you could tell, was just building. He had the list, and he kept adding to the list as he's covering this fraud of a candidate who now won't concede. Give me a break. What did Ruben Gallego say? If you won't concede, you're just a loser. You're a loser. Carrie Lake. Sorry, it's like Christmas time. I can pull out Grinch song. I think I may have to have another one for Lauren Mayer to record, right? You're a loser. And I can use Von Hilliard's rant for the lyrics. Okay, it's a work in progress. All right, there's one more thing I got to share with you. You know, the one Senate race that is headed for a runoff is happening December 6th in Georgia. It's the inexplicable race between the wonderful Raphael Warnock and the CTE-infected, it's got to be Herschel Walker, because the man's brain does not work properly. So Herschel Walker is doing a campaign stop the other day somewhere. OAN is covering it. I didn't know OAN still had an outlet. Maybe they just stream on the interwebs. But anyway, there were TV cameras there. And so what does Herschel Walker do? Does he talk about the plight of Georgians who are having trouble with whatever? Not exactly. Okay, Herschel, what's your big stump speech here? What are you gonna tell us about that will make us believe you are the right person to be the next senator from the state of Georgia?
Oh, you ever watch a stupid movie late at night hoping it's gonna get better? Don't get better, but you keep watching it anyway. Because the other night I was watching this movie. I was watching this movie called Fright Night, Freak Night, or some type of night. What? But it was about vampires. I don't know if you know vampires are cool people, are they not? But I'm gonna tell you something that I found out. A werewolf can kill a vampire. Did you know that? I never knew that, so I didn't want to be a vampire anymore. I wanted to be a werewolf. But then as I'm watching this movie, and then you tell how stupid it is because it's 1 in the morning. So I'm watching my TV, these kids watching their TV, vampire kill on their TV. So you know it's kind of stupid, but I'm still watching, though. As I'm watching this show, what was funny, these kids had a vampire in their attic at their house. So they were watching their TV. Now, I'm watching my TV. They're watching their TV. Or they see the vampire killer on their TV. So they win this contest to bring this actor. Now, y'all got to stay with me.
Oh, my God.
Bring this actor who's a vampire killer from their TV to get rid of this real-life vampire in their attic. So as this actor comes to their home, he got all the right stuff. He got all the right stuff because, you know, I got to have a stake and got to have a thing to kill him in the heart. And he got a necklace of garlic because that worked. I don't know what it does, but it worked. You got to have a cross because it burns. I know that worked. And then all of a sudden, this is what was so funny about it. As they're walking through the house, this guy's got the holy water. He's blessing the house, this actor. Now, he's all fake. He's blessing the house with his holy water. They walked upstairs, and this vampire looking real good in this black suit. Whoa, that sounds like Senator Warnock, doesn't it? Looking all good
no,
in this black
suit. No, it
doesn't. Floated from the ceiling.
Oh, my God.
He floated from the ceiling looking good and cool. And I'm thinking, whoa, they better get out of that house. If somebody float from your ceiling, get out of that house. That's not your house. But as he floated from the ceiling, the kid jumped behind that hero. As they jumped behind that hero, the guy jumped in front of him with this holy water, threw it on the vampire's forehead. He covered his eyes. And he took his hand away. He started laughing.
What?
And he said, that don't work. He took the cross, he put it on the vampire's forehead. And the vampire didn't even do anything. He said, that don't work. And that's the way it is in our life. It doesn't even work unless you got faith. It is time for us to have faith. We got to have faith in our fellow brother. We got to have faith in
you
this
gotta
country.
Have
we
got to have
faith in this in the elected officials.
Got to have faith.
And right now, that's the reason I'm here.
Oh,
because
my God.
Oh, my God. The faith.
And right now, that's the reason he's here? Keep the faith? I don't know where to go from there. And the garble's back. Sorry about that. All right. But at least we have sound right now. I don't know. I'm going to reboot everything tonight. Damn it. Damn it. Well, when I had the other audio, it there was no audio. So I'll deal with it later. The gremlins are here. You know, Fantoma in the chat room says they're laughing at him, not with him. That's true. And the good news is, I don't see anybody going out of their way in Georgia or elsewhere to vote for that to be in the U.S. Senate. I just don't. Especially as even if he won, it would not give Republicans control of the Senate. So I think they're all going to stay home on December 6th, as they should. Oh, my God. Just when you think we're out of the woods, they pull you back in. I hate it when that happens. All right. Whose turn is it to mix up the Dirty Debbies today? I need a double.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're going to love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello, Howie Klein.
Hey, Nicole. You tell you who picks up the tab.
Who?
Sam Bankman-Fried.
Oh, let's talk about Sam Bankman-Fried, frankly, because I don't know enough about it. All the NFT and crypto stuff makes my eyes roll back in my head. But
right, you don't have to know about it, any of that technical stuff, to know what happened.
Okay, what happened?
Very, very simple. There's no reason to make it into something that people can't understand. The guy stole $8 billion from investors. I mean, it's like as though he were a banker and just took the money out of the bank illegally and used it to bribe politicians, for example. I mean, he used it for other things as well. There is a sex scandal, a drug scandal, and a murder scandal that's all going to come to light in the next couple of weeks.
What?
I don't know, unless they cover up the murder scandal, they may do that.
Murder scandal? Ooh.
Oh, yeah. They murdered some, you know, crypto businessman who almost blew the whistle on Bankman-Fried a couple of weeks ago.
Wow. Now, Bankman-Fried, refresh my memory, he gave a lot of money to some Democrats, didn't he?
Well, it depends what you consider a lot of money. If you consider tens of millions of dollars a lot of money, yes.
I do.
He was, first of all, last cycle, he was the second biggest Biden donor in the whole world.
Oh, God.
Yeah. This cycle, he was the second, so this midterm cycle, he was the second biggest donor to Democrats after Soros. There were several Republicans who gave more in between Soros and Bankman-Fried. But I have this all on my blog. I've written about it in great detail. But and I have been for three months. I've been writing about it more than that. Because one of the people that he financed, I mean, he financed a lot of people, but one of them was in Florida. Maxwell Alejandro
Frost?
Something.
Maxwell Frost.
Maxwell Frost, that's right. He gave him $1 million. He didn't give him $1 million. He gave him some, you know, the max donation, and then he spent $1 million or nearly $1 million on independent expenditure advertising to get him to win, which he did win.
He did win.
It was very simple what happened. Bankman-Fried basically funded this super PAC, put in at that point, I mean, put in much more after that, but at that point he put in $14 million and said, all right, candidates, show me how loyal you're going to be. Show me how you're going to kiss my ass. Show me what you're going to do for me, and you can get some of this money. And one of the first ones to raise his hand and pop up was Frost, who started a cryptocurrency-friendly advisory board. The cryptocurrency, the biggest crook in among Democrats in cryptocurrency world is a New York Democrat named Richie Torres. And not only did Frost start a cryptocurrency advisory committee, this is before he won, this is when he was still running, he brought Richie Frost on as one of the members. Richie Torres on as one of the members. The corruption is like so unbelievable. It's like beyond belief. I mean, some of these people hadn't been elected yet. Some of them weren't even thought they were going to be elected, and they were already lining up to do Bankman-Fried's bidding. And for cash, millions of dollars were spent on this.
Yeah.
Millions, tens of millions. What am I saying? Millions, tens of millions. And the corruption was beyond belief.
Wow.
And by the way, Bankman-Fried's partner, this guy named Salami, was doing the same thing. Again, tens of millions of dollars, but he was doing it with Republicans. So I haven't followed that as closely because my assumption is that all Republicans are corrupt and take money.
Right.
But I've been following it more on the Democratic side. In my posts, I mentioned that, you know, Salami is giving money to Republicans as well. They were partners. They were co-CEOs of this crypto business called FTX.
Yes. A total non sequitur. But Richie Torres followed me on Twitter just a day or two ago out of the blue. And I'm thinking, why is he following me?
Well, because you're a radio personality, and he is, you know, thinking that he's going to be president someday. No, this is, I'm not joking. I'm not making a joke. He really does think he's going to be president someday.
Well, maybe I need to invite him on the show and ask him about this money he took from, as you call him, Sam Bankman Madoff.
Yes. Well, you should.
I will.
Yes, and definitely invite him on the show. I mean, that's not, that's only one of many things. He's a member of the Progressive Caucus. He votes fairly well. But he is he's on the House Financial Services Committee, where he can do bank, well, not anymore, but where he was able to do Bankman-Fried's bidding, and he and other corrupt business people, and he is. You know, just in general, you know, it's like, I don't know if you read that, that quote that I put out today from Hakeem Jeffries. The two of them are very similar.
Yeah.
So Hakeem Jeffries, as well as Richie Torres, pretend, because they're both from New York, one from the Bronx, Torres, and one from Brooklyn, Jeffries, they pretend to be progressives. And, you know, and yet, you know, let me get that quote so I don't botch it up, and I'll read it exactly. This is the quote isn't from me. The quote is from Hakeem Jeffries, and it sums up who he is in a really good way, because the press is saying, oh, you know, he's a member of the Progressive Caucus, so therefore he's progressive.
Right.
And,
right.
You know,
we know that's not true. Right.
So what he's, let's see if I got this right. Where is it? Here it is. All right. This is Hakeem Jeffries speaking, you know, the great progressive.
Yeah.
There will never be a moment where I bend the knee to hard left democratic socialism. He's talking about AOC, of course.
Of course he is.
Yeah, one of his neighbors. So, you know, these people, you know, do they vote well on gay marriage? Yes. Do they vote well on women's choice? Absolutely. They do. They're Democrats. And they vote well on those things, and they're from New York City. They can't not vote well on those things. They'll be out on their ass in the
of
next
course.
Election.
Right.
But are they corrupt, disgusting animals who don't belong in Congress? Absolutely. They're as bad as any Republican on everything except the voting.
Right. You know, you have a post up that is Sean Patrick Maloney is still running his mouth, further demonstrating why the voters rejected him. And you showed the vote totals for AOC's race, in which she won 71% to the Republicans 27, and Sean Patrick Mahoney lost 50 to 49, basically. Actually, less than a point, but still, he lost. She won in a landslide, and he's bad-mouthing her for being a socialist?
That's exactly right. He's bad-mouthing her and saying that her policies aren't popular, and therefore the Democrats suffered from it.
Oh, my God.
Well, and when you look at the actual policies that she espouses, they are very popular. They are incredibly popular. What's not popular is his bullshit. That's not popular, and that's why he lost. But he can't accept that. So instead, he has to blame her, which is just unbelievable. And they're all like that. You know, Maloney is like that.
Salami, baloney, whatever.
Is like that. Richie
right?
Torres is like that. That's what these people are.
Wow.
Fake progressives.
Okay, so now... I read with a bit of dismay today that Adam Schiff has pulled himself out of contention for the speaker's race, basically just giving it to Hakeem Jeffries unchallenged. And he said he will focus on a possible Senate run. I'm guessing he thinks that Dianne Feinstein is finally going to go home.
Or to heaven.
Or one or the other. Okay. Well, so
Dianne Feinstein is not going to be running again. Dianne Feinstein is lucky that she can find her way from her office.
Obviously.
Can't find her way from her office to the floor of the Senate. She has to be dragged there by her aides. She can't even speak without them telling her what to say in her ear. It's just a joke. But she won't be running again in 2024. So it's going to be a hot race. But, you know, and Adam is very well known. He's very popular. But, you know, the thought is, first of all, Eloise Reyes, who's the assembly leader, the Democratic assembly leader up in Sacramento, she's going to almost definitely run.
Okay.
And also, Katie Porter is likely
that,
to run.
You know what? I said that earlier. You know, Adam Schiff is okay. I'd rather see Katie Porter in that seat. I don't want to give up, sorry to put it this way, but a woman, a female-held seat to another white guy. just
poor Adam. That's why he. That's you know that had a lot to do with why he
gave in to Hakeem Jeffries.
Felt that he didn't win the speakership. Yep. You know, no one wants an old white guy,
a pasty white guy. They're not. They're kind of out of fashion right now. So, but I get it. I get it. But so now the new leadership has stepped up. Steny Hoyer said, well, he'll follow Nancy. He'll stay in the House, but he will he won't run for leadership again. But Jim Clyburn says, I'm still going to be in leadership because the people want me. Okay, whatever. Yeah. But there's a new trio in town. I don't know much about any of them. I know more about Hakeem Jeffries than I do. Is it Catherine or Kathleen Clark and Pete Aguilar? Who are these two?
So let me first the good news. Kathleen Clark isn't as bad as the other two. She's a liberalish Massachusetts congresswoman.
Okay.
And she's okay.
I'll take
when she
that.
First ran, there was a much more progressive person running for the seat, but Clark beat the other person. But since she's gotten to Congress, she's been decent. So that's the good news. The bad news is Aguilar, who is a conservative Democrat from Southern California, and it's like by chance that he became a Democrat. He was hanging out with Republicans, and then he decided it would be easier for him to run for office if he was a Democrat, so he calls himself a Democrat. He is what I know about him is he's a Coke freak.
Oh God. Lovely.
And I asked another member of Congress yesterday how well it's known that he's a Coke freak. And he said, yeah, everybody knows. And they said, you know what? I'm wrong. A lot of people know, but not everybody knows. All the staffers know. The young staffers know because he closes the bars every night.
Oh,
he's the last person out of the bars. I posted a photo of him. I meant to send it to you, but I didn't. I posted a photo of him all coked out of his head and, you know, giving the finger to the photographer. It's pretty funny. But, he's awful, absolutely awful. The idea of him being in the top leadership is just amazing. I mean, he just sort of – it's funny the way it happens. You know, when Ben Ray Lujan
mm-hmm. –
went to the Senate.
Yeah.
The Nancy's leadership team is very, very, very identity politics oriented. So there could never be a moment when there wouldn't be a woman, a black person,
right.
a gay person, a Hispanic person. They have to have all those things. And no matter who it is, there's got to be one on the team. So when Ben Ray left the House to run to become a senator, they looked around and he was like something tangential to it, and they just threw him on just because he's Hispanic. So and now he's about to become a major leader of the House Democrats. You know, if I remember correctly, his voting record is an F. And there's nothing about him that's any good. Nothing. Zero. No one can tell me anything good about him because there is nothing good about him. He's terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Wow.
But that's perfect for Hakeem Jeffries. And Hakeem Jeffries is perfect for Kevin McCarthy. I mean, the two of them are going to be a riot. Two incompetent morons.
Amazing. That's really disconcerting, especially when you think of how close the Democrats came to retaining the majority. So yesterday, it was last night, that the 218th seat went in the Republicans' column. And it just so happens it's a district that we talked about a lot 2 years ago. California's 27th, where Christy Smith lost to Mike Garcia twice because there was a special election. Well, twice before now. Special election and the general, and she lost both of them. So what did the Democrats do? They run her again?
Right. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And the main reason why she originally became the nominee, like years ago, it was when, what was her name? Katie.
The one whose ex-husband porn-shamed her. right?
Yeah, there was all that, and she was bisexual, and she's having sex with members of her staff, which is illegal, or in the house rules, you're not allowed to have sex with members of your staff, and she was doing all sorts of stuff like that, and they picked Smith because she looked like her.
Right. I mean, Katie Porter. No, not Katie Porter. Katie, what was her name? I'm sorry.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Sorry.
The other Katie.
I'll find it.
Decided to voluntarily retire after a quick talk with Nancy Pelosi about her scandal. So she left, and they immediately came
up with Katie Hill.
Katie Hill.
Yep.
So they came up with this assemblywoman who, it was perfect for them. She looked just like Katie Hill, a white blonde lady who was very conservative for a Democrat, very, very conservative. In fact, you know, everyone would say she's the closest thing to a Republican that you can have. And she was only really a Democrat because of the choice issue, and there was nothing else that made her a Democrat. And she wound up as the nominee, and then she wound up as in the special. Then the way California does it is there's a nonpartisan
jungle primary. Right. So the top two vote getters, regardless of party.
So she lost those to Mike Garcia, and then in the general election she also lost to Mike Garcia. So they just had her they put her in again, and she lost again.
Amazing.
And she lost by more, and it's a D+4 district. It's not a D+1. It's not an R+1. This is a Democratic district. The only way a Democrat could lose it in this district is if they're horrible, horrible, which she is. She's horrible. And when I talk to people up there, they don't say that they go and vote for Mike Garcia. They just don't vote. They don't vote for Congress because they don't want to vote for her.
Right. It's astounding to me that they could say, yeah, let's give it a try a third time. What?
Yes. And I'll tell you something else. The other two Democratic seats there are a couple, but there's two other Democratic seats up in that area that haven't been called yet. One of them is definitely going to go to a Republican, and one of them, it's the closest race of the uncalled races. So, and they're both horrible from the state assembly. So you might not know if someone is horrible if they don't have a record, but these goofballs have records.
Right.
So we have something in California called the Mod Squad, which can be translated to the Blue Dogs. They don't call it Blue Dogs, they call it the Mod Squad. So they take the two leaders of the Mod Squad, Rudy Salas and Adam Gray. So these are the two leaders of the worst segment of Democrats, and they're really bad because not only do they vote terribly, but they're corrupt and they take tons of money from big oil and big insurance and the hospital companies. These are awful, awful people, and the Democratic Party recruits them to run for congressional seats in blue districts. So Salas is running against Valadao in a D+5 district, and Gray is running in a kind of a new district that sort of came mostly out of Devin Nunes's district, but they sort of added a bunch of Democratic areas to it. So now it's a D+4 district. So two nice, solid Democratic districts. They picked the worst possible candidates imaginable, and the two Republicans, at least one of the Republicans, is going to win. Valadao will win. And the other one, it's a 50-50 chance that it's going to be a Republican who takes a Democratic seat. And if they would have had a good, solid, progressive Democrat, the Democrats would have won those two seats, those three seats, if you want to include California 27. So, you know, everyone is blaming New York for the loss of the House because New York screwed up in a very, very big way. And that's true. They did. But New York, no worse than California.
Right.
Both states, Democratic parties completely screwed up. And that's why we ceded the House to the Republicans because of these three seats in California and four seats in New York, seven seats. The Republicans aren't going to have a seven-seat margin.
No, that's the thing. Cal 27. I mean, there are these where the Democrats lost the majority were all I'm trying to pull out the sports analogy, and I don't know shit about sports, but unforced errors, is that right? I mean, it was mistakes made by the Democrats in New York because they got greedy, or Sean Patrick Maloney got greedy, and tried to do the
Hakeem Jeffries. Maloney doesn't deserve all of the credit for that greed. It's him and Hakeem Jeffries, both of them together.
Right. And what they did was they took a page from the Republicans' playbook and thought, well, they do this extreme gerrymandering in other places. We'll do it in New York, a state that already is pretty blue, and it would have gone their way, but they had to meddle with it more and went overboard. And a judge said, hell no, you're not. And they rolled it back and made it really bad for the Democrats. I'm oversimplifying, but that's basically it, right?
That is what happens. I mean, the original map that the legislature came up with would have netted the Democrats two more seats.
Yep.
So the Democrats would have been up by two. Instead, Sean Patrick Maloney said, no, we can do better than that. Let's squeeze it more. And he came up, or made them come up with, a map that netted the Democrats four seats. The judge, the Republicans then took that to a Republican-friendly Trump-appointed judge. And the guy said, no, yep. I'm appointing someone to draw the maps for you because you did a bad job. And he appointed someone who got even with the Democrats, and the Democrats lost four seats.
Wow. And Nancy in the chat room says Andrew Cuomo deserves some blame too.
Exactly right. But, you know, why kick a dead corpse?
Oh, my God. This is, you know, this didn't have to be. And look, you were prepared. I said I was going to try to stay positive. You were convinced that the Democrats were going down in flames. So obviously you have to be a bit surprised and encouraged that most Americans said, nah, we're not going for the fascism.
No. That is not what happened.
Okay.
Most Americans most Americans don't vote, but the Americans who voted, they voted for Republicans. It's just the way the districts were and the way that the Democrats were able to take advantage of that the Democrats won as many seats as they did. But I don't know what the exact figure is yet, but we'll know within a week or two. But there's no doubt that more people voted for Republicans than Democrats.
Wow. Well, it's just, then it's fair play. Turnabout is fair play, because in the last few years, a lot more votes were cast for Democrats than Republicans when they kept winning, right?
Yes, that's true as well. But this is something that is, you know, goes on. A lot of times you can blame it on gerrymandering. But, you know, when you think about it, you know, imagine this. So, you know, I'm going to make these figures up, so these aren't real figures. But right. Imagine that 70% of the voters in Alabama vote for the Republicans. So that's a big number. Then you take New York, because the New York Democrats were so terrible this time, say 55% voted for the Democrats. So, you know, already you can see where things are going in terms of the Republicans being in favor. And that happened all around the country. The red districts were really, really red. And some of the blue the red states were really, really red. And the blue states were blue, but not as blue as the Democrats would have wanted them to be. But blue enough so that the Democrats were able to win a lot of seats by the skin of their teeth.
Right. Still, I mean, it's a better outcome than we expected, and I'll take it. But it could have been better if the Democrats just didn't screw up in stupid ways. So just, I have to point it out just because it's there. So Howie Klein, I got to say, reading Down with Tyranny this week.
1 minute, okay. before you plug Down with Tyranny, yes. Which I would appreciate. But, yes. But before that, I found the numbers.
Okay.
So popular vote in the midterms. Now, this can change a bit, but it's not going to change in our favor. 50, and I won't go into the, I'm just going to give you the raw number.
Okay.
53 million people voted for Republicans, 53 million. 49 million voted for Democrats.
Okay. Well,
okay. I mean, that's a big difference.
It is. It is. Yeah. Well,
I mean, just the way, you know, Trump won the presidency, although he won much fewer votes than Hillary did
yes.
in 2016.
Right. Right.
So that happens sometimes. It's just the lay of the land.
Okay. Well, this time it worked in our favor.
If we had direct democracy, wouldn't happen.
No, it wouldn't happen. But then again, Trump never would have been in the White House, and things would be a lot different than they are now.
Yes, right? That's what I meant.
Yes. Okay, so Howie Klein, of all the posts that I read on your site this week, which do you think was my favorite?
The one about the Clash.
You got it. Oh, my goodness.
All right. I have good news for you. Tonight, in just a few hours, part two.
Cool. So.
And part two includes a picture of Paul Simonon's two sons, who I should tell you are both Prada models.
Really? Ooh.
Yeah, or they were Prada models. I don't know what they are now, but they were Prada models when the picture was taken.
You know, when I first got into radio, it was 1979 in college. And I did a show on the campus radio station, WUSF, not San Francisco, but University of South Florida. And I also did a weekly show on WMNF, which was at the time a brand new community radio station in Tampa. They've now been on the air for like 40 years, but this was when they first started. I did a weekly show. And there were three bands that I was kind of obsessed with. And I would I would play sets of them. They were The Clash, The Ramones, and Elvis Costello and the Attractions. And there were the offshoots. There was the Talking Heads, and there was Joe Jackson, and I still love all of them. But The Clash, I never got to meet any of them, but I always loved The Clash. And you talk about career opportunities, and when that was the new song for them, it's like, oh my God, talk about memories.
Well, right, because I became very close with the guys in the band. I went on tour with them in England before they had an American album. If you remember, the first album that they recorded, The Clash, didn't come out in the U.S. because their record company didn't think it was good enough. And what I interviewed over the course of the month I stayed with them in England, I interviewed each one of them on tape.
Wow.
And I recently found those tapes.
Wow.
So I have each of the four members of the band, and the first one I decided to put up was the bass player, Paul Simonon, who I became very, very friendly with. And my best friend in the band I was close with all of them, but my best friend in the band really was Mick Jones.
Wow.
And very, very, I was very, very close with, I'm looking at Mick's picture, but I'm looking for a picture that I had of Joe Strummer. Because when I went on tour with them, they got Joe got hepatitis.
Uh-huh.
He said it was because people were spitting all the time, and he wound up getting hepatitis. And he wouldn't allow any journalist into the hospital except me. So I have all these pictures of him in the hospital in his pajamas, and I interviewed him as well in the hospital, outside of the hospital, and we became close. So I'm sharing those experiences in a series of posts about The Clash.
Very nice. And this is all as Howie, for those who don't know, who are new to the show, when Howie and I first met, it had to have been 30 years ago, God, 25 years ago, maybe. I was doing music radio in Los Angeles, but Howie was president of Reprise Records. So
interviews are long before that.
Right, long before that, because you had obviously a career before you became president of Reprise Records, before you succeeded Frank Sinatra.
When I was a journalist and when I was, really poor. And I mean, even the story of how I got to England is a really interesting story because I liked them before the American company released their record, but an executive from that company got in touch with me and said, well, I see you really love The Clash. They're going to be one of our bands. She was a big, big fan of The Clash.
Uh-huh.
And she loved them, even though her company wouldn't put them out. And she said, would you like to go on tour with them in England? And she said, and we'll pay for everything. And I said, yes, please.
That's so cool.
And she had her own ulterior motive, which I'll discuss in my memoir. But and it worked out just perfectly. But in any case, she sent me there, paid for my airfare, paid for my hotels, my food. I mean, it was like a dream. I mean, hey, I was poor. I didn't have money to fill up my car with gas at the time. So to be told I can get an all expense paid trip to England, and with my favorite band in the world, it was just amazing. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. It was a pleasure reliving some of those moments with that I had, you know, last night, writing about this, transcribing the tapes, looking at all my old notes, and including things I forgot. I mean, when you talk about career opportunities, you know, those are Paul Simonon's remarks. Those are his thoughts on this. I mean, there's a lot of wisdom in some of the things he says. And when you think about it, this particular interview was in 1978.
Wow.
So it's quite a long time ago. I mean, you know, it's when sort of punk was sort of still getting started and people didn't know how to relate to it.
Right. No, you're right. That was just the beginning of it. Again, right around the time I started in radio in college. So I got to tell you, last night we went to see Bonnie Raitt.
Yes, I saw your tweet.
Oh, my God.
Your tweet, in fact.
She is. I've seen Bonnie Raitt probably a dozen times over the years. I met her back right around the time Nick of Time came out. In fact, an opening for her was Mark Cohn. You know, for those who don't, Walking in Memphis, Mark Cohn. So when Mark Cohn's first album came out, I was working at KLOS producing the Mark and Brian show. And KLOS was a rock station. They weren't about to play Mark Cohn because it was a little too mellow for them. But on the Mark and Brian show, I brought in all kinds of different bands. And Danny Bush at Atlantic Records was a friend of mine. He's like, this guy's great. You got to have him on. We'll do a promotion. We did it. We gave away a backyard concert at a listener's house with Mark Cohn. That's how we got to know him. And he was a regular guest on our show. He did our Christmas show. And, you know, he was like a friend of the show. So last night, there's Mark Cohn, and I haven't seen him in 30 years. And, you know, he starts telling the story of walking in Memphis. And I started like tearing up thinking, shit, I was there at the beginning of this. My very first gold record award was Mark Cohn's for that first album. And so it was like, God, it felt so good. And then she was talking about, Bonnie was talking on stage about how she met Mark at the Grammys in 92 when they both won. And I realized I was there. I was backstage and I interviewed Bonnie Raitt at that Grammy show. And it's just something weird that now here we are 30 years later. And I'm like, you know, I feel like Forrest Gump kind of, or Zelig,
I do very often. I know just what you mean.
Yeah. So it's just, and I unfortunately, you know, I have pictures with Bonnie because I see her every time she comes through. But because of COVID now, they're not doing meet and greet. So I didn't get to see her and say hello. Got to see the show, which was wonderful. But I didn't get to say hi to either one of them, which I it's like I felt like there was this big reunion that was supposed to happen and it didn't happen.
Oh, well.
Anyway, but the music was great. She is 73 years old. And I'm telling you, I don't think her voice has ever sounded better. She's amazing.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So
I haven't seen her in a very long time. I haven't been to concerts in a really, really long time.
Right. Well, and let me tell you something else. It was at the Broward Center, which is the big theater at the Broward Center, which is a big theater. It was sold out. And David and I, and maybe, I'm being generous here, maybe 10 other people in the entire place were wearing masks. But, oh, well, I'm not going to not wear a mask. If I'm going to go out. So I wore my mask the whole time and I sang along and just loved it. It was great. So I'm looking forward to seeing part two of your story about the Clash. And I still can't wait to read the whole memoir from Howie Klein. All right. In the meantime, you can see pieces of it at downwithtyranny.com along with all the political stuff. All right, Howie, you know, I've got some news for you. I told you that after this week, I was going to be gone for a while.
Yes, and we know that Carrie Lake lost.
Carrie Lake lost, so we are moving to Arizona. That's number one. But number two is we're not going yet. We're able to stay here for a few more months, and if you knew me, you know that I'm not very organized, and I've not been doing a good job of packing and purging. So the drop-dead move date is April 15th. So I will be here throughout the holidays. I'm not leaving yet. So the time off to move will come in April. So
Great.
So we're here.
I didn't think of it.
Yeah. No, I was going to take about a month off to move because we got to get out there, find a place and everything. But I'm so not ready. And we were able to work it out so that we can stay here through the middle of April.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. So, but Arizona, here we come. I can't wait to get out of Florida.
Yeah, Arizona, though.
I know. Well, you know, had I never sold my house in Los Angeles, I still couldn't afford the taxes. So, oh, well, we'll see.
Where are you going to move to, Tucson or
no, it's what? Probably going to be around Tempe, which is where David's son lives. You know, they both went to ASU. Max is still out there. In fact, Max's girlfriend, who I hope they get married, they live together, works for Katie Hobbs. And in fact, she now is choosing between three jobs for when they move, either go to the governor's office or she had two other opportunities as well. But I hope she goes to the governor's office.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So things are looking up. I'm trying to remain optimistic.
Very hot.
It's hot here, too. You know what? It's hot in Florida, except it's a dry heat out there. Here, the humidity melts your brain.
Right. There, the heat melts, believe me.
P? No,
heat.
Tempe. Sorry, what did I say? Tempe? Tempe. Sorry, I was just corrected. Tempe.
Okay. That's the Phoenix area.
Yeah, it's the Phoenix area. Unless someone wants to give me a job. Look, I've got friends in Tucson. David says he hates Tucson, but it's because he's got this weird college thing because he went to ASU. There's a rivalry between Arizona State and University of Arizona, which is in Tucson. So he hates Tucson, but I'll change him. Got to get out there. I've never been to Tucson. I've only been to Phoenix, I think, once or twice. So, you know, we'll see.
There are other nice parts of Arizona, too, I'm sure you know.
Yeah, but not very many blue parts. And I swear I do not want to be surrounded by... I don't want to live in Paul Gosar's district. You know? Well, I don't. Yeah. Yeah.
So, people really love Flagstaff, but everything around it is pretty horrible.
Yeah, that's the thing. But, you know, I've got friends out there, and it's so much closer to California, which is where the rest of my friends are. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
Cool.
Yeah.
See you soon.
Yeah. So next week, though, we will be off because next week is Thanksgiving. Next Thursday is Thanksgiving. So I'm going to do a Thanksgiving music show, as I tend to do, and then we'll talk the following week.
Great.
Okay. All right. Okay, thanks, Howie. Have a great, happy Thanksgiving.
You too. I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Bye. All right, there's Howie Klein. And now I've updated you. Yes, it snows in Flagstaff, I know. Didn't John McCain live in Phoenix? Probably. You know, Phoenix is mixed. It's more blue than red. But, I want to live in a place where I'm not afraid to walk. I'm not going to go in Andy Biggs' district. I'm not going to go in any of those crazies. No, I would like to live in Ruben Gallego's district. We'll see. Or maybe Raul Grijalva, but that's Tucson. Anyway, one last programming note. It's not really a programming note, but since we're not leaving yet, you know, I haven't been soliciting or encouraging anyone to get in touch if you want to get a pet portrait done for a gift for the holidays. But now I have time again, so I'm not packing up the studio yet. So if you do want one, that behind me, the cat, the black cat, is, again, almost done. I didn't do anything more on it since yesterday. But that's Destiny. She's almost done, and I have time. So if you want to get a pet portrait for a loved one or for yourself as a holiday gift, send me an email, nicole@nicolesandler.com, and we'll talk. All right? Okay, with that, we're done. I thank you for listening, as always. Thank you for your support, as always. And Barbara Rice, you've never heard of Mark Cohn? You've heard the song Walking in Memphis. That's his one big hit, but he's more than one big hit. His first three albums are all wonderful. So, Barbara, go listen to Mark Cohn. First song you should just Google on YouTube is Walking in Memphis, because you'll go, oh, yeah, I know that song. And then you can listen to the rest of his. He's great. really is. Okay. With that, we're done. I will see you tomorrow. I recorded a great interview today, which we may run tomorrow or not. We'll see what the day brings, okay? All right. Have a great night, everyone. See you tomorrow, and I'll leave you with the news. Again, this was recorded before Nancy Pelosi announced her plans. So some of it's old, but most of it is still reasonable.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
As historically good as the midterms were for the Democrats, Republicans scored a major victory on Wednesday night when 8 days after voting ended, they hit the magic number of 218 House seats, thereby securing the majority for the 118th Congress that convenes in January. By the way, the race that put the Republicans over the top was from California's 27th district, where Republican Representative Mike Garcia beat another challenge by Democrat Christy Smith. President Biden easily carried that district in 2020, but Smith, a former state lawmaker, lost to Garcia, a former Navy pilot, twice before in two matchups in 2020, a special election as well as a general election a few months later. Maybe California's 27th should have had a different candidate? Just saying. Anyway, it's looking like once all the results are in, the Republican Party will control the House with possibly the slimmest majority ever on record. Which leads us to leadership and the fate of current Speaker Nancy Pelosi. You may recall 4 years ago when the Democrats won back control of the House, she said she'd only serve in her role as leader for another 4 years. Well, we'll find out today what she plans to do. She's giving a speech on the House floor after she gets out of the closed-door caucus meeting. Reports early Thursday morning say she took two versions of her speech home last night, one in which she steps back from her leadership role and one in which she runs again. Stay tuned. Now, if Pelosi does step down as leader, there are a few people waiting in the wings, with Congressman Hakeem Jeffries favored to win the post. And two considered his lieutenants, Catherine Clark and Pete Aguilar, currently the assistant speaker and the Democratic caucus vice chair, looking to move into those number two and three spots, effectively replacing Steny Hoyer and Jim Clyburn, neither of whom have signaled their intention to step aside at the ages of 83 and 82, respectively. Just saying. Now, for those of us who were hoping for an alternative to the apparently already anointed as Speaker-in-Waiting Hakeem Jeffries, Adam Schiff has reportedly decided not to run for House leadership and will instead focus on a possible Senate bid. I guess I'll have to convince the 89-year-old Dianne Feinstein to retire already. Meanwhile, on the House side, Kevin McCarthy is trying to shore up enough votes to make him the new Speaker. He won the vote to be House Republican leader 188 to 31, but he needs 218 to become Speaker. To get there, he appears to be giving in to a number of demands from the Freedom Caucus, perhaps selling his soul, that is, if he had one to sell. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell won a secret ballot election to stay on as the Republican leader in the Senate, surviving a challenge from Senator Rick Scott of Florida. McConnell said he was pretty proud of the 37-10-1 victory. This was the first time anyone challenged him in his 15 years as leader of the Republican Senate Conference. He's now on track to become the longest-serving Senate party leader in the nation's history. As for the rest of the results, they're still counting in a handful of races, but a few more were decided yesterday, including California's 47th district, where Katie Porter won re-election. And in Los Angeles, where Karen Bass made history as the first woman elected mayor of Los Angeles. She defeated billionaire real estate developer Rick Caruso, who changed his party affiliation to Democratic shortly before entering the race. You know, the one who financed his own run, the most expensive campaign in LA's history, to the tune of more than $100 million. Wow. Well, with the lame duck session in full swing and knowing that the House now will revert to Republican control in the next session, the Democrats are pushing an aggressive agenda, beginning with Wednesday's cloture vote to advance the Respect for Marriage Act that would codify protections for same-sex marriage. 12 Republicans joined all the Democrats to limit debate for a final vote on its passage. The House would then have to approve this version and then would go to Biden for his signature. So what's different between this one and the version that the House passed this summer? Well, Senators Tammy Baldwin, Susan Collins, Kyrsten Sinema, Tom Tillis, and Rob Portman put forth an amended version of the bill that includes language dealing with religious liberty concerns from Republicans. Go figure. Anyway, the final vote is likely to come after the Senate returns from the Thanksgiving break. And there's a lot more still to get done before the end of the year, including dealing with the debt ceiling, an NDAA, funding to help Ukraine, and on and on. An assault weapons ban would be nice, too. In other news, the torturous death of Twitter seems to be playing out in real time. New owner Elon Musk on Wednesday told Twitter employees to commit to a new, quote, hardcore version of the company or quit with severance pay. He did this in an email that gave them until Thursday to say whether they'd stick around as Musk transformed Twitter into a more engineer-driven platform. In his letter, he said, this will mean working long hours at high intensity. Members of Twitter's trust and safety team tasked with blocking hate speech and misinformation were debating whether to resign en masse. Musk said on Wednesday he would eventually hire someone else to run Twitter. Good move. He may want to speed that up a bit. Meanwhile, Amazon has confirmed it has begun laying off employees a few days after multiple outlets reported planned cuts of about 10,000 people this week. But they're not the only tech company scaling back. Facebook parent Meta recently announced 11,000 job cuts, and Twitter, of course, has been slashing its workforce. And finally, the House is considering a Cherokee Nation case for representation. The principal chief of the 440,000-strong Cherokee Nation said that he expects Congress to live up to its promise to allow a Native delegate in the House of Representatives. Chuck Hoskin Jr. spoke before a House committee hearing, saying he expected the delegate to be seated before the year's end, honoring a 187-year-old treaty. What are they waiting for? And that's just a bit of what's news. For now, I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click